As I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence will prevail. This is Dr. Herbert Alvarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. As I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and my confidence will prevail. You know, we all think we do stupid things because we did not get our way and we did not get what we wanted. And so we do stupid things and we get our way. And then everything works out and we say, well, I had to do stupid things to get my way. Well, now, you don't have to do stupid things to get your way. You can do intelligent things to get your way. And as you do intelligent things, what happens? As you do intelligent things, everything works out in perfect order. However, there are people who do silly things, and even though they're geniuses, they do silly things. What would Jesus say to us? He would say, go forward and accomplish good. Go forward and accomplish good. Go forward, ever forward. And I think Henry Ford was probably listening to Jesus when he built his first car. Because when he built his first car, he forgot to put a reverse gear in. He just went only forward. He forgot that sometimes you pull into a driveway, how are you going to get out? Unless you put a cul-de-sac or go right on through. But you see, those are things that we laugh at them and realize they're not too serious, but they were serious in the first car, because the first cars couldn't back up. They had to have a bunch of people push them back. Of course, they were very light, and pushed them back and put them where they wanted to go so they'd go forward again, because there was only a forward car. So I like to think of Henry Ford as a very forward-thinking man, always forward. And that, of course, is a little evidence of how it works. But as I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence will prevail. So, whatever I do out of confidence and enthusiasm, and I always am right, for me. Now, there are other people who will say, well, Herb, your quote was incorrect. Herb, your facts were incorrect. Herb, your details were incorrect. And I say, okay. Those are my details, my facts, my quotes. And if it's incorrect, it's incorrect. So what? My wife used to always love to correct me. I'd say, hey, last Thursday we really had a good time, didn't we? We went to the show. She'd, no, that was Wednesday. And we went to see Gulliver's Travels. And she said, no, we went to see Shakespeare's, you know, Hamlet. And I said, details, yeah. Now, was my wife right or was I? Well, I want to tell you something. I am the only person living inside of my consciousness, whether other people like it or not. I'm the only person living inside of my consciousness, and the same is with you. Now, if I say we went last Thursday night, we went last Thursday night, because my mind is thinking of last Thursday night when we went. Now, I may have been wrong, it may have been Wednesday, but in my thinking, it was Thursday. Now, if I was thinking of the show Gulliver's Travel, and I was thinking that that's what we went to see, and my wife knows differently that we went to see Hamlet on Wednesday, she was correct too. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, we did go to see Hamlet. But on Thursday, we went to see Gulliver's Travels in my thinking, in my mind. Now, what is actuality and what is otherwise? I live my life. I know, as I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence. As I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence. It's me. It's me. Do you remember what you did at the doggy beach when we took you there? Esther went to the doggy beach with us. And at the doggy beach, the dogs were running up and down the beach having a good time. And Esther was saying, as all these dogs were jumping up on her. And it was her first real approach with a lot of dogs. And she thought, my goodness sake, look at all these monsters here. And what are they doing? And so Esther remembers Doggy Beach as a little bit of a frightful thing. That thing was, oh, there's dogs jumping up on me. All these dogs, oh, goodness, you know. And now, if you were to say to Esther, remember Doggy Beach? she wouldn't remember any one of those dogs jumping up on her, because now she has learned to love dogs. Now she's learned to love Button and Love and Rex and the cats. And she thinks this is just great. And they come around and she says, "Hi, Rex, how are you?" You know, before she'd say, "Rex, down, down, down." And Rex would jump on her and knock her over. And she'd say, "My goodness sakes, you know, are these untrained dogs?" You know, but you see, our memory adjusts itself to what our condition is in life. Now, did you always like kissing girls? Oh my, yes, you know. Well, I remember when you were 8 years old and you had to kiss a girl, you ran and hid under the bed, you know. And another time when your aunt came over and you had to kiss your aunt, you ran outside. And then another time you were even worse. You were at the lake cottage and your aunt came up and you had to give her a kiss. First, you fell down with a lot of spit on your lips. You fell down with your face in the dirt. And then you got up and she said, "Well, I don't want to kiss you now." That dirty face, schmutzig, you know. And so, you see, you didn't remember that. All you ever remembered were the beautiful lips that you kissed, the beautiful girls that you kissed. And you don't remember your aunts and the other people that, and even young girls that you were supposed to kiss your sister. Kiss your sister. I mean, my gosh, could anything be worse in the whole world than kissing your sister? And I had two of them, you know. And but that was never a problem in our family. We each did our own thing so much we were never around each other enough to do any kissing. But I live my life. As I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence will prevail. It just continues to go on wonderfully and beautifully and perfectly. It prevails gloriously because I am me and you are you. Now, do you believe in yourself? Well, you're a liar. You say you believe in yourself. Yesterday, you were having a hard time tying your shoe. Today, you know how to tie your shoe, and you say, "Yeah, I always knew how to tie my shoe. Yeah, no problem." Yesterday, you couldn't tell time with your watch, and then somebody came along and talked to you. Now you can tell time. You know how to tell time? Of course I know how to tell time, you know. Your confidence and your enthusiasm prevail, you know. But, well, I remember when you couldn't tell time, you know, day before yesterday. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. That's a lifetime ago. That's a millennia ago. That's beyond imagination. But you see, what I'm trying to express here, not trying, but what I am expressing here, is the idea that whatever our past is that we remember, that's what we base our present on. Whatever our past is that we remember, that is what we base our present on. So if we base our past, let's just say Ellen. I mean, a silly, silly Ellen. Ellen has a boy called Diego. And Diego was a loving little boy, but always cooperative, always loving, always gentle, always smiling, always good. And I don't know that Ellen ever remembered Diego crying, ever remembered Diego unhappy, because he was always happy, always gentle, always loving. Now, if you said, "Remember the time that Diego fell down and scratched himself and was crying? Remember the time this hit? Remember the time?" And she'll say, "No, I don't remember those times," because she only remembers that Diego is a loving, gentle, fantastic kid. Now, she is creating this monster in her mind, this monster being which is not reality, but it's reality for her. It's that upon which she bases her relationship to Diego. She sees Diego as a loving, caring, wonderful person. This is the kind of person he was when he was a child. You know, he never did anything wrong. Never, never did anything wrong. You understand that? Never. He never was naughty. He never stayed away and didn't come in on time when he should have, you know. See, she doesn't remember that at all. And that's good. And that's good for all of us. To take all of the stuff of our past that is unimportant and totally unnecessary and release it. Now, the next difficult thing for Ellen is to realize that Diego is no longer a little boy or even a young man. Diego is a mature man and a father and a husband. Diego is what she was when she was first married, when she was first having children. Diego was like that, you know. And when she was doing it, oh, I'm the greatest. I'm wonderful. I'm a mama, you know, and I've got a family to run here, and I've got a husband, and I've got this, and I've got a household. And you see, she was right up on top. And does she remember when her mother-in-law came over and said, "You're doing everything wrong"? Or when her own mother would come to visit and say, "You can stand to live in this pigsty, you know?" And she says, "Mother, I didn't ask your opinion." But in any event, you don't remember those things. All you remember are the beautiful things. And this is, as I say, what it should be. Now, as I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence will prevail. My enthusiasm and confidence are fantastic. You know, if I were to tell you the story of my life from the time I was born until the time I was a teenager, you would think that I was God itself, manifest, personified, expressing, that I made no mistakes. I was loved by everybody. I was the good boy, perfect boy in every respect, always doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, for the right purpose, and fantastic in every regard. I never made a mistake. I never did anything dumb. I was really, and as a student, oh my goodness, was I wonderful as a student, and stuff like that, you see. Now, if you talk to other people, my teachers, for instance, they might say, "Well, he was average." And if you talk to my sisters, "Ah, oh, that dumb kid," you know. Or if you talk to my mother, "Oh, that sweet little boy, you know, always dependable, you know, always doing things for me around the house." And then I did my things and did them quickly and got out. And then I didn't have to be around to do everything. And the girls, they did it slowly, and so they had a lot of things to do because they were always there. But they didn't catch on. But you see, you got to know the psychology of life. And I found it out quickly. So, but you see, when we remember the past, we define it as our feelings are today. And when you are feeling sad about yourself today, and you feel self-pity today, you start coming up with terms like this. "They never do anything for me. They always hate me. Everybody likes me. Everybody likes me. Everybody."
That's right.
"Everybody's making trouble for me. Everybody is on my back. Everybody's picking on me." You know, the minute you are unhappy, you pick up all that unhappy stuff. And you hadn't thought about that for years, but you pick it up. Now, this is why it's so important that as I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence will prevail. This is why it's so important that we live our life with enthusiasm and confidence, because then we will remember those things and we will live those things. Now, I don't teach remembering things, but I do teach that you're a human being and that as a human being, you do remember. You shouldn't live in your remembrances, but I say also, if you're going to have remembrances, create them the way you like them.
Yeah.
Create them the way you like them. If your daddy was always on your back and giving you a spanking every time you turn around, say, "My dad loved me so much, he was always giving me attention." "My dad loved me so much, he was always watching what I was doing, he was always careful of what I did because he was so proud of me, you know, and he was always giving me," and that's true, mm-hmm. That's true. He wanted to watch me this so I wouldn't get in trouble, but I took it from a different way. He watched me because he loved me. And wouldn't that be a much better way to take it than that I was a troublemaker? He watched me because he loved me. Now, mother, did she watch me because she loved me? My sisters, did they watch me because they loved me? No, they watched me because they didn't want me to see what they were doing. And they would always do things secretly. They had their special little code between the twins, you know. The twins always had their special little world that brothers weren't allowed in. And us three brothers had to remain outside. And so after a while, we said, "Okay, no, poof. We're not interested in what you're doing." And we weren't. We turned our interest totally to other things. And that's why as my sisters and I grew up, I don't remember them hardly at all. Because they built a little world for themselves that was just theirs. They weren't mad, bad or anything. Anyway, that's what twins often do. They want to make this little private world for themselves. But when I think back on my sisters, I only think of things that I liked, things that were fun, things that were good. This is the first time I came up with something like this, which is true. But that's why I didn't get as close to them as I could have. And that's why it is wise for us, as I live my life, I know my enthusiasm and confidence will prevail. Have your own enthusiasm, your own confidence, and live that enthusiasm and confidence and enjoy it. This is your divine reality. And do you want to know some of the biggest liars in the world? The biggest liars in the world, this is the people who write history. Because they weren't there. They have no idea what was going on. They just presume by the evidence that lay around. They presume by the archaeological artifacts that are there that this is what happened. They say in this potsherd where the cans, can you imagine cans by prehistoric man, by the bones and other things that are laying there in the stones, that this is how prehistoric man lived. Well, would you look at our dump, any dump, and say that's how modern day man lives? You would think all he does is have broken up cars because they take the most room, you know, crunch, crunch, crunch. But then another part, Nappyville. You know what Nappyville is? Diaperville. That where the diapers are. Yeah, you see, they used to dump them in the dump, you know, because what else could they do? And then later they learned how to dispose of them more. And there are companies now that dispose of these things because the diapers were, I mean, when the population, what are you going to do? And you got these diapers all over the place. And then the kids play in the dump. I mean, what kid doesn't play in the dump? And find all sorts of treasures. And then there's the diapers and there's the other stuff. And there's, you know, it's fascinating when you realize how wonderful our lives are, that we're untouched by all of the nonsense. And then you look back into some of the old movies, and one man works for the hospital. And in working for the hospital, he took all these diseased sheets and pillows and so forth out of the hospital, and he had to burn them. So he burned them next to his house. And of course, all the stuff went right into his house, and his kids grew up fabulously strong, immune to everything. But they would wash the sheets that were full of disease and so on, and they'd use them, you know, because they didn't have these nice things. But and they lived, and they survived. They were immune to all that stuff. But you see, according to modern sanitation, it should not have worked that way, you know. They should have died. They should have all been killed, you know. And here this guy bringing this laundry, garbage laundry, and filled with disease and stuff, and it didn't touch them because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. It was not in their consciousness, and for somehow they had this immunity built up in them because they had to, as the father brought home little by little things, you know. And our enthusiasm and our confidence prevails. What enthusiasm do you have? What joy out of life do you want? What do you want to think about life for yourself? What do you want to have as your experience in life? Where are you going? What sort of enthusiasm do you have? We call Ellen our bubble of enthusiasm. Now, where's Ellen going? Where's Ellen going? Ellen's going one place, being herself and having fun. So if we can take our enthusiasm and our confidence and be ourselves and have fun and not be the slightest bit concerned about what anybody else thinks, we'll be the happiest people on the face of the earth. And be yourself and have fun. This is what we teach. This is what Jesus taught. This is what everybody taught. Be yourself and have fun. Now, can you do it?
Yes.
Will you do it?
Yes.
Do you do it?
Yes.
It is done.
Okay.
So, have a lovely morning and know that I love you very, very much. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.